Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Just like wrestling fans, sometimes they want to have a discussion. Most of the time, they want to be right.
They just want to be right.
That's what's going on here. And that's what's going on here is a wrestling podcast.
Oh, Phoenix!
Hey, yo.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
You straight punk bitch!
I mean, you're just gonna replace me.
Shut up!
Randy Morales,
the biggest slut in the Western Hemisphere!
Why do I have to have a buzzer?
And Greg DeMarco.
You are now and will forever be an asshole.
Cause it's my show.
And I love you, Greg.
You guys know how to party.
You're welcome!
It is a Tuesday evening, Tuesday, September 13th, 2022. It's the Greg DeMarco Show, and we're talking about wrestling. My name is Greg DeMarco, at Chairshot Greg, on all of your forms of social media. His name is Patrick O'Dowd, and he is the wrestling realist. Therefore, heretofore, and what might have you, that's a flashback for you, Patrick O'Dowd, and what might have you. I always want to laugh. I'm sorry. Whenever... that topic, that person comes into my head, and what might have you. You can find him on the Twitter at Wrestling Realist, WrestlingRealist. There's no I in wrestling, but there is one at Realist, and there is one in Patrick. For the Wrestling Realist, Patrick O'Dowd. I didn't mean to derail things by going on.
You went East Coast, Greg.
I went East Coast bias. I went old school. Lots of bias on that East Coast situation too, mostly against me.
Yeah, so it's okay.
that's a blast from the past. God, so much fun. I'm just sad I wasn't there for people leaving certain positions, but hey, who knows? Anyway, got better things to talk about than
For it, man. Let's talk about wrestling. Yeah,
exactly. Instead of talking about terrible bosses, we'll talk about Tony Khan. No, we won't. We'll talk about great bosses like Triple H. We're talking pro wrestling on the Greg DeMarco Show, part of the Chairshot Radio Network, which you can find right here at thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Follow along at ChairShot Media. This show streams on thechairshot.com, but it also streams on all of your favorite podcasting platforms like iHeart or iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeart, Spotify, and so many more. Find the shows, like, subscribe, leave a 5-star review, click that little bell, turn on the notifications, do whatever you got to do. Be a friend, tell a friend, spread the word. Let everybody know about your favorite wrestling podcasts, all part of the ChairShot Radio Network, and more. More than just wrestling. We got sports. We got entertainment podcasts like Patrick O'Dowd's very own, The Bandwagon Nerds, and so many more. So follow along. It's sports, it's entertainment, and it's sports entertainment right here at thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
While you're just, you know, putzing around, not doing anything except listen to a podcast, head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/chairshot. Get one of those t-shirts, right? T-shirts for the podcast. We got the wrestling t-shirts. We got character t-shirts. We got everything you could possibly need. You can get in all different sorts of sizes, colors, styles, like the soft style that everybody loves so much because it just feels so good on your sensitive little skin. And as Patrick rubs his nipples on an audio podcast, you guys can't see it anyway, and you don't want to. But pick it up.
You don't know
support
that.
The cause. You're right. I don't know that. They might want to. I mean, shit, I kind of regret saying it because I kind of want to. But support the cause. Support the movement that is thechairshot.com, your favorite wrestling website, and will soon become one of your favorite wrestling t-shirts when you head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/chairshot and pick one of those up. I'm excited. We got some good stuff to talk about today. The wrestling world is ever changing. Patrick O'Dowd. Real quick programming note, the hashtag Miranda Show will be back live this week. Well, live recorded for you. Buckle up. It's going to be a ride because we've got to talk about an IZW show, Psycho Circus. We have not done the traditional breaking down of the IZW show, and that's usually a long one. But then we got to mix in the wedding that took place.
Yeah, the
weekend after.
The nuptials.
The nuptials that the people in podcasting land still don't know the setup of the wedding, who did what at the wedding. So that's going to be discussed on said hashtag Miranda Show. So, I mean, if you've been on the Instagram or whatever, you might have seen, been clued into what roles people played at the wedding. But that'll be a topic of conversation as well. So buckle up. It's going to be a lot of fun on the hashtag Miranda Show this week. So if you've never listened before, listen. If you think this show goes off the rails, my God, that show goes off the rails so much quicker. And yeah, it's going to be a ride. But it's going to be a really good one. We get to talk about our celebrated IZW events and the fantastic wedding that we all have to take part in for Miranda. So go ahead, give that a listen. Lots of fun. But we're talking wrestling here this week on the Greg DeMarco Show. Patrick O'Dowd and I both had the opportunity this week to tune into Monday Night Raw. Now, I had started watching Raw a few, like regularly, again, like the whole episode, weeks before the Vince McMahon stuff started. Then the Vince stuff started, then Triple H took over. And for me, it's become appointment television. Now, I say appointment television, I started Monday night and I typically finish it on Tuesday at work. You know, work from home, fire up the TV, have it on, watch it throughout the day. That's what I do. That's what I did today to finish off Raw. And I know Patrick had a chance to watch it as well. So I've got a few topics to talk about, and it's more forward-looking things because that's what we do. That's what I do. But Patrick O'Dowd, you watched Raw. You've been paying attention, obviously, because we're all fascinated by the stuff that's gone down and the shift in power and the shift in everything. What are your thoughts? You coming out of this week's Raw, what are your thoughts? What do you want to talk about? What are you thinking?
Well, I like that Theory hasn't really lost his momentum. I think that that's been good. Borderline, I wouldn't even say borderline, good to great. I think Kevin Owens was a great interaction for him to have, and is someone who is a terrific guy to work a program with. I am fascinated by the Seth Rollins support that is happening. I think you even maybe mentioned it, like he's like one promo away from a babyface turn or something.
Not just
like that,
being the biggest babyface in the company,
right?
He's one episode of Raw away from becoming the biggest babyface in the company.
I don't think Dominic Mysterio is there, and maybe he shouldn't be wrestling that yet. Maybe he should be in NXT. But as the developmental program that evolves that it is, those were kind of my big takeaways. I fast forwarded through the ladies a little bit, caught, you know, Bayley and Bianca Belair and that whole thing. Watched, what is it that they're called? Is it like Damage Incorporated?
Damage Control. Like
Damage Control.
Which I think is when, a dumb when name, the, but we can talk about that later.
Right. When, you know, win the women's tag titles, which I know we brought him back. I don't know if we needed to bring him back. Like, are we going to have dedicated women's tag teams? Maybe that's the promise of Triple H. Who knows? But overall, I enjoyed the show. I liked it a lot. I thought that it was, I've noticed this even without watching the shows on the regular, because of where I was, you know, over the summer, you know, that sort of standard opening 30-minute match has just kind of become a thing on the show. Like, you know, this week it was Riddle and Seth Rollins, and he had a couple of them, but it's just been, it has felt a little more wrestling centric. And I think that that's a good thing. Because I don't think they've sacrificed story for that, if that makes sense.
They haven't. No, a lot of the story takes place in the ring, and the storytelling takes place in the ring, and right, it leads to a match of some kind, and we see more overlap of characters involved in different things that end up linking together, right? Raw started off with Riddle and Rollins and led to Finn Balor versus Matt Riddle. And kind of mixing the two different feuds that are going on there. You know, as we know, Dominic was going to wrestle Edge later on in the program. And that was a little bit, you know, we didn't have that before. We wouldn't mix and match and overlap a little bit. And we see less redundancy in our matches. That was always a big complaint that we were seeing the same shit over and over again under Vince, because people were kind of kept separate, and now there's a lot of overlap and people are getting to see the matches that, you know, who knew we wanted to watch Riddle and Balor. And yet there we were watching Riddle and Balor, and it was a damn good match. And the opening promo has oftentimes now led to a match right then and there that isn't necessarily part of a feud or whatever. And it's allowed that overlap and crossover, and it's been entertaining. And usually that does occupy the first 30 minutes of Raw. And one of the reasons why Raw is what I want to talk about. Two reasons. Number one, well, we record on Tuesday, Raw's on Monday. But number two, SmackDown's on Fox, and SmackDown is kind of its own entity. It's got different commercials because it's on network television, all of that. Raw is really, to me, the barometer of WWE looking forward and all of that. Like, SmackDown is just this weird entity in and of itself because it's on Fox. It's like a, in some ways, it's an infomercial for WWE, while also being a wrestling show, but Raw to me is like that weekly product. And this week it's jumped out. You talked about the opening segment, and we're not going to go in order because we know that sucks. We've been talking about it for a decade plus now, just recapping wrestling shows in order, at least for us. Some people are good at it. We're not. The Judgment Day to me are like, they have become the unsung heroes of Monday Night Raw. When they were headed to Cardiff for Clash of the Castle, I heard some sentiment online and in some of the podcasts, even here on this network, that were like, if the Judgment Day loses to Edge and Rey Mysterio, you might as well break them up. And I thought that was asinine. And while they lost to Edge and Rey Mysterio, and then Dominic turned, which is stupid in it's like, you know, when you just look at it in a vacuum, just look at that one thing. But in the long run, that falls into that whole wins and losses don't really matter, because no one remembers that they lost at Clash of the Castle. They remember that Dominic turned, and they remember where we're headed to now. I agree with you. Dominic should have had time in NXT. The one time Dominic appeared in NXT and even had a match, it felt right. It looked right.
Right.
Like, it just, Dominic fit so well, and I was hoping maybe he would stay, and he didn't. And who knows the reasons why. I don't know. Maybe it's a respect thing for Ray. I have no idea. But that's where we are. One thing I want to talk about with the Judgment Day that I don't think anyone's brought up and haven't seen reported anywhere. Remember, Rhea Ripley got hurt and she was out, and we had to have, you know, determine a different challenge, and she hasn't wrestled since. I don't think she's cleared to wrestle still. I think she's doing the things that she's doing because she can't wrestle, and they're finding ways to use her. And all it's going to do is get her more over. Because this whole thing with Dominic and you know, Dom being the sub and all of that for Rhea is – and it fits in perfectly with her look and her character. And she's having a blast with it. And I'm sure Dom is too. It's just going to make her more over when she does return to the ring, in my opinion. And she just fits. And the Judgment Day, to me, like, they really do carry that show. And – because they're dependable and they're over, and Balor can work with anybody. Damian Priest is a notch below Finn Balor in the ring, and that's not a knock. It's just the truth. But he's a larger than life character. He sounds insane when he talks in a good way. Like, all of it just kind of fits. And they really do carry things for me, and their entrance is great. Like, they have all the elements you need to be over and to draw. And if a babyface needed an opponent at a moment's notice, and it was the main event level match, you could insert somebody from Judgment Day, and it works. And that's, you know, to me, like, that all works. Let's talk about the women. And you said you fast forwarded the women. The women's tag team championship, everyone knew that Io Sky and Dakota Kai were eventually going to win those titles. When they won,
it was a very foregone conclusion feeling.
But Triple H knows he has to put on TV every week. So he, having Raquel and Aaliyah win the championships from the tournament in a match that probably shouldn't have main evented SmackDown when it did, or Raw, whatever show they wanted on. And then this time it was in the middle of the show. And a lot of that, I think, is because Aaliyah is just not there where she needs to be in the ring as a storyteller. And that's why the tag team thing worked better. But they in the past, I think they would have just won the belts up front. Dakota and Io would have won the titles. But then you got yourself an extra few weeks of storytelling. And that's, I think, a difference that we've seen with Triple H, is like, we know where we need to go, but let's see how long. You know, it's like they say in wrestling, it when you're a wrestler, slow down. Slow down. And when you think you're going too slow, slow down some more. And I feel like that's the same thing with the storytelling right now. It's like, okay, we know where we want to get to. We're going to get here by this date. And then I feel like the first question Triple H asks is like, how could we extend that out a little further and give ourselves more time with this storytelling before we have to dip into other storytelling? And I feel like that's what they're doing. And to me, it works. So I like that. Any other thoughts that you had?
No, not really. I just, first Raw back for me in well over probably 2 months since July.
Yeah.
So for me, it was really, I always compared getting back into the flow of a show as, and this isn't a lost analogy, but it's like jumping back in on a soap opera. Like, you haven't watched a soap opera in a long time. You know the characters, you got to figure out where they are and what they're doing. And right. So that was a lot of, like, hell, even when I talked back to you about the show, I said that Riddle wrestled Rollins, and that wasn't true. Riddle just had a confrontation with Rollins after the match. Rollins opened the show with the promo, and then Riddle and Balor.
And I didn't correct you. I just rolled through it.
Right.
Because it wasn't important.
But it still ended with Rollins standing tall over, you know, curb stomping
Riddle.
Yeah.
The guy he doesn't want to face.
At the end.
Yeah, which makes sense. So, Rollins shouldn't want to wrestle him. He already did. It sells the fact that Rollins already beat him. It also sells the fact that Rollins is still a chicken shit heel. It also sells the fact that Riddle's dangerous and Rollins doesn't want to get in there again. Like, it all just makes sense.
It was well done.
A few other questions, notes. Johnny Gargano made his in-ring debut post-return. He'd worked on Raw a little bit before, but this is, you know, he did so as part of NXT. This was his call-up, his return. He worked Chad Gable. I feel like whatever we do with Gargano is not going to be rushed. I feel like, just like everything else on Raw, it's obviously he's got his issue with Theory, with Austin Theory, and that's fine. And I thought Chad Gable was a great opponent. But to me, I wanted to see Johnny Gargano, the WWE superstar on Raw, wrestle. Because before, when he was on Raw or SmackDown, he was the NXT superstar. And I wanted to see how it felt. And it fit to me. He fit.
And Gable's the right guy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, Gable's absolutely the right guy for him to wrestle for his first, you know, kind of big time match
but
back.
I can see him working Otis next week after what they did after the match.
My point was is that they worked very, very well together. Yeah. You could tell that there was some good chemistry there, and it made them both look like a million bucks. And Chad Gable, as I almost texted this to you, he's starting to feel like the Sean Waltman Raw.
That's a great way.
Like he's the guy that, you know, we need to get a good match and get a good barometer of how this is going to go for a person. Let's put him in there with Gable. And that seems to work out pretty darn well. I also forgot that they're trying to get Omos' heat back. And so they had him beat up two dudes.
Yeah, the Omos thing.
That's like, another one. That's another one where I'm like, God, let it go.
That's going to take some time. That's really going to take some time for Omos for me. Chad Gable, you're right. Like, I think the Sean Waltman comparison is fantastic. And he gets it. Like, everybody criticized the whole Shorty G thing. But then they found out, like, he was behind it and loved it and got the gear and did everything, like, because he wanted to get over. And of course, you know, he had the combination with Bobby Roode. Like, he's done so many things. And he's there and he's credible. And it just works. And everything he does, to me, makes sense. And he's in a great spot. And he could win a tag title at any point in time. It's fine. He could be an Intercontinental Champion. It would work. Like, that could to me. I said years ago that the issue with Johnny Gargano on the main roster was he could fill the Daniel Bryan role, but they already had Daniel Bryan. Well, now they don't.
Right.
He's an AEW, now more commonly referred to as Daniel Bryan Danielson, which I dropped on Twitter last week and people loved. I guess we've been saying it for years, but they love the Daniel Bryan Danielson reference. So I'm back to where I was before. I think, played right, Johnny Gargano could have the underdog WrestleMania moment. I think he's over enough. You could have a stadium of 70,000 people chanting Johnny wrestling. It would happen.
Absolutely. I think you could do that.
Because you don't need 70,000 people to know he's Johnny wrestling. You need 10,000 people to know he's Johnny wrestling. Start chanting it, and the other 60,000 will follow along.
But I mean, think about this. So, yeah, if you do this story right, and then you have Candace with the kid there, the whole, like, you got the story writes itself. You know, you just got to have an indomitable opponent for Johnny Gargano to overcome.
We have the indomitable opponent for Johnny Wrestling. People just aren't ready for that conversation yet.
Acknowledge me.
But here's the point I need to make. And I'm going to tweet this at some point this week. People are going to shit all over it. WrestleMania 40 is when you do it. And no one thinks
that
far ahead. Because you got The Rock at 39. And we're at 39. And Roman, in my opinion, really shouldn't lose until September 2024. It's going to be Togan's run. So even 40 might be too soon. So maybe 41 is when you do it. But I'm thinking years down the road with this. I'm not – everyone's like, who beats Roman in the next 6 months? And my answer is no one. Just get the freaking WWE title off of him. But we'll talk about that more after the break. But I could see it. I could definitely see it happening. So I teased the break. Let's do the break real quick, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more about some future stuff with Raw and what we're seeing in that regard right here on the Greg DeMarco Show, part of your favorite Chair Shot Radio Network.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
So it's funny that we talked about the change in NXT, because I've been sitting on this article idea, which is like the top five things I want to see Triple H do. And one of those five things was going back to black and gold in NXT. So I'd have to replace it with something else, and that's fine. I can. As a fan now, you watched Raw. You've been watching this stuff for eons, just like I have. What is there anything you want Triple H to do? Is there anything you're like, this is great, I'm not complaining, but here's what I want to say.
I mean, other than put AJ Styles back on my television, which I know is a sentiment I've seen from many, many other folks around the interwebs. Absolutely. I don't think that is an uncommon thing.
No,
because
it's AJ Styles.
It's AJ Styles. And who knows why he's
probably
not
taking some vacation.
He's probably just taking some time, which is fine. It's just that you know you have that talent there. You don't know how many years you left. You have that talent at that caliber of talent, and you want to get the most out of him while he's still with you. That's probably my big one. And then I already said it. Like I get the story they're telling, but less Dominic Mysterio, please. He was too much of my television. That was the other thing, is he was a promo. Then he was a backstage segment, you know, with Ray. Like, it was just they gave me too much Dominic, man. It's too much.
I mean, they're literally that's one of their main event programs right now. Like, that's,
I know,
that's the thing.
And that's too bad.
But it's not really. It's more about Ray. It's more about Edge. It's more about all that stuff.
Yeah, I get it.
What's funny is that we had this huge match between Edge and Damian Priest in Toronto. Main event Raw, Edge went over. I think the big blow off of this is actually going to be Edge and Balor. And
sure.
But that's not what we thought. We thought it was going to be Edge and Damian Priest, which makes me kind of think that, yes, Judgment Day doesn't have a leader,
why?
But maybe Balor is the guy.
Why? Like, when I look at that group, like, it's Balor's the guy. Like, I'm sorry.
Because when Balor first joined, Priest was doing all the talking. They say there's no leader, and I believe that. Edge started it when Damian Priest helped him at WrestleMania.
No, I remember that. Yeah.
It's been very fast storytelling, and I get it. They haven't gone the gay spooky that it was rumored they were going to go. And maybe they will in the future. And I'd actually be down. I would.
But for me, looking at that group as a guy coming in late,
right?
Balor looks like the dude. Like out of that group. It looks like the end game.
And that's just because he's Finn Balor. Just because the talent level, like I said, Damian Priest, no offense to him, he's a half step below Finn Balor. Finn Balor is one of the best wrestlers in the entire world. So it's okay. There's no shame in being a half step below Finn Balor, in my opinion. So we've got that. I do want to see more with the women not involving the championship. And they've done a great job, and they're still a little depleted. And eventually we're going to get to Bayley and Bianca Belair. And you know, haters be damned, Bianca's probably going to lose to Bayley. It would just make sense for Bayley to hold that title. I want to see, because we spent so much freaking time with Alexa Bliss and Asuka as a tag team, as part of that feud with Damage Control. And the reason why I say it's stupid is because Damage Control is like, it's a bad thing to have to do Damage Control. When they were just calling themselves Control, I thought it was better. But Damage Control to me is just, I don't think they're getting the desired effect they want, but I'm probably in the minority. So that's cool. I want to see Dakota Kai and Io Sky versus Alexa Bliss and Asuka for the tag titles, either in a cage match or a ladder match. Like, I want something that matters with that to establish those four, to establish everything. Then you can have Alexa turn and be the best version of Alexa. We can have a feud with Asuka that doesn't even involve a title, which would be great. I want to see more storytelling for the women that doesn't involve championships. When Charlotte comes back, I think we can be there. Depending on what happens with Ronda and Liv, I think we can get there on the SmackDown side of things. Like, I do think that's something that we can see. But now we've set the table. We've had the appetizers. Time for the main course. And I was arguing with PC Tony about this on Twitter. And when PC's wrong, it's so much fun. Because he'll just go on and on and not really present good reasons. I'm just kidding, PC, a little bit. I need a world title on Raw. I do. I don't, it's like the one thing that's missing to me. I don't think that it's a storyline device. We've talked about that. I'm not saying it's not a storyline device. To me, it's just a storyline device that they need. I think they need that title. It doesn't have to be the central focus, but it's like the one thing to me that's missing is that brass ring, as it's been referred, you know, things have been referred to in the past, but that ultimate goal that wrestling again is WWE is basically a show about wrestling. It's still a sport. It's being referred to as more of that. It's still all of that. It's a fictitious sport, whatever you want to say. Sports have goals. Athletes chase championships. To me, the pinnacle of anything is the world title. And I cannot buy the U.S. championship as the top championship on the brand. Even though Bobby Lashley and Seth Rollins are fighting over it. And that was Tunney's argument. Like next week, they're fighting over the face of the company and face of the brand and the U.S. title. Okay. When Bobby Lashley approached Seth Rollins in the backstage promo, the first things out of Seth's mouth were, that's not the gold I had in mind. Immediately diminishing the United States Championship.
Exactly. I was right there with you on that one. Because you're, the first thing that tells you is that there's only one belt that matters to Seth.
And I think it's coming.
At the very least, it's Seth. Yeah, it's got to be because you don't.
There's been too many reports. Seth, there's been too much about splitting up the titles. I think Triple H sees the value. I mean, Triple H, remember, at one point, Eric Bischoff just handed him a world title. And he made it valuable. There's been rumors that new belt designs are coming, so much so as some of the leading, you know, belt insiders or whatever are talking about.
Is it the big gold belt? Are we bringing back the big gold belt?
I wouldn't be sure. I mean, from a merchandising standpoint, I don't think we're bringing back anything. I think we're making new because then everybody's got to go out. The collector's got to go out and buy. But it could be inspired by the big gold belt. I could see that.
Big Goldie.
Big Goldie. I could see some of that happening. But in my opinion, I think that we just need that last piece of the puzzle. Raw is not a bad show. Raw's been great for me. I just think that's the one more thing we need. I need a women's feud that doesn't involve a title, and I need a men's feud that does involve the title. Is what I really need.
Right. It does feel like there's just an ultimate prize that's kind of missing, and what you say makes sense. And how they get to that title, that world title. We gotta strap in and, as I like to say, let it play out, let it marinate.
And there's all these reports that are like frustration backstage about what to do with the titles. And I'm like, you got a dude with a briefcase. It tells itself. We're making it too hard if those reports are even true. And they may not be. That's one thing I want to talk about.
Cash it in, have somebody pin him.
Cash it in, somebody pins him. Paul Heyman shows back up. Let me bring up one point, sir. Points out that Theory can only cash in for one title. Therefore, whoever pinned Theory won the WWE Championship. Roman still has the university. Bang, poof, we're good. It's not that hard.
Done and done.
Or if you're worried about not having a world title on both brands, let Roman be the end-all, be-all, final boss. Make a Raw Championship and a SmackDown Championship. We already got rumors of new belts. Maybe those are what they are. That's fine. I would buy into that because we all have a Raw Women's Championship and a SmackDown Women's Championship. So the precedent has been set. And we're probably going there. I'm probably just impatient because belts take a long time to make. And they'll be here. Championships will be here. And then we'll have our stories and we'll be fine. The other thing on my list, and we'll save this topic for another day. I want Triple H to bring back the traditional Survivor Series. Not the Raw versus SmackDown, although you could do one of those, but I want the traditional 4v4, 5v5 matchups. And I think we're headed there. We've got four members of the Bloodline, not counting Sami Zayn. We're now up to three and Imperium's back. We got three in Sheamus's crew. We've got, you got the stupid Maximum Male Models been walking around with Umberto, with Los Lotharios. Like, there's connections there that can be utilized, and you could easily pull off a couple of matches with the women. You could have an NXT team. Like, there were things you could do to make that happen. And the only thing, because we don't have two world champions to fight, we don't have two tag champs to fight. We got two women's champs that can fight, and we got the one match that everybody really wants to see, Bobby Lashley versus Gunther. But do it on Raw or SmackDown as the build. They're doing a great job building their Raw, especially Raw. They're building their main events from week to week. Do it as part of the build. I'm fine. I'm fine with it. More people would see it. But
now, do you do the Ultimate Survivor match after you do the Survivor Series matches, or you just do the...
I don't know if you do the Ultimate Survivor match, because what do you do with Roman? Because his team's... The Bloodline's going to win. And I think you got to end the show with the Bloodline standing tall. And I think it worked back. They only did it once, but it could work back then.
Right.
But I think in this day and age of wrestling, there's diminishing returns when an act like the Bloodline wrestles more than once. They can enter and do a promo and have a match later, but when they come out and they wrestle and they win, and then they come out later and they wrestle and they win, like, to me, there's some diminishing returns there. So I think you end the show with the Bloodline standing tall. I think you do the Bloodline on one side. You do KO. You turn Sammy as part of this Bloodline storyline. Maybe you bring back AJ and insert him in there. Maybe Bobby Lashley. Poof, you got your team. Maybe we do something with Rollins. I don't know. But you almost build like a super team to oppose the Bloodline. And right. With KO, Sammy, Rollins, and maybe one other, AJ, say.
McIntyre,
yeah, I didn't even think about that. But McIntyre could get involved if you're doing the Brawling Brutes and Imperium. Now that Sheamus' crew is basically babyfaces, you could have McIntyre with them, give somebody to Imperium. There we go. There's a lot that you could do, and they have the talent to pull it off, and I think it'd be very entertaining. And I like Survivor Series, so I'd be down. I'd be down for Survivor Series. So let's transition, because we have been talking about this now for 35 minutes, and we got something really fun to do. As it's been a great part of the program since we introduced it, because ladies and gentlemen,
you just made the list.
It is time to make the list. This week's list is brought to you by, not a sponsor, no, it's brought to you by the wrestling realist, Patrick O'Dowd.
Shut your dumb mouth.
Patrick O'Dowd, shut your mouth when you're talking to me and tell me and tell the people, what are we making a list of today?
Well, I was feeling a little nostalgic because this is definitely more of an old school topic, but we are making a list of wrestling vignettes / sketches. So this is like not promos. These are very specific to vignettes or sketches that could have been done to, say, build a talent, build a story, tell a story, all of that. So those are... That was what I chose today. A little bit different, because I started with, maybe we'll just do like greatest, like our best promos. I was like, nah, people do that all the time. Let's talk vignettes. Let's get a little weird. Let's get some Bruce Pritchard love on this show, because he used to do a lot of the vignettes back in the day.
And so I've got, and we made our lists, and we're good to go. So I get to go first.
That's true.
So the first vignette or sketch that we can say, hey, vignette or sketch.
You just made the list.
It's kind of ironic, given the name of this segment, because my number one, my first entry on the list anyway, is the Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho Festival of Friendship.
Nice.
The interaction between Owens and Jericho, the list was a big part of that. That's where they broke up, set up the WrestleMania match. At the time, Owens was the Universal Champion. Of course, by the time we got to WrestleMania, he wasn't. Thanks to a Jericho distraction and Goldberg. But for me, number one is the Owens and Jericho Festival of Friendship.
Nice. Good choice. It's funny. As we talk about festivals of friendship, I'm going to talk about, oh gosh, this is so tough, but The Rock, This Is Your Life with Mick Foley. Like, you got, it's iconic.
I'm just writing it down. I had that on my list as well.
Right, me too.
All right, so we've got two on the list so far. I get to go next. So, and I, you know, there's so many that can go on the list, but, and I know some of the things that you might have on your short list. So I'm going to go ahead and bust out one that I bet you didn't expect to be on the list, but we've talked about it before, and I loved it so much, and I tend to be the one that keeps things current, and it's even more, you know, salient right now with some of the happenings on Raw, and definitely living in vignette land, especially this week, plus a debut on Raw. For me, I am going with the Dexter Lumis and Indy Hartwell NXT 2.0 wedding that took place a year ago as we transitioned over to NXT 2.0. The wrestling wedding that everyone jumped, actually cheered at the end of because it was a successful wrestling wedding.
That's funny. I will save my NXT sketch that I picked.
Oh.
Maybe as an honorable mention.
Maybe. But, so you get to pick the fourth item on the list.
All right. So I'm going to go back to the 80s for this one. This is my all-time favorite sketch ever. And there were a lot of these sketches that took place. But it's Ted DiBiase as the Million Dollar Man. And he used to bring – he would offer people money to do all these different things. And the most famous sketch to just show you how bad he was is that he offered a child $100 if he could dribble a basketball 10 times. And he kicks the ball out of the kid's hand at number 9. And so he doesn't finish the job, or the kid does not win the $100. And you want to talk about generating real heat back in the day, because this was done in front of an audience too. Like, this is done back in the superstar days on like the little platform stage that they would talk to people amongst the crowd. He does that, instant heat. The Million Dollar Man character, when it was at his peak, was easily my favorite heel in all of wrestling.
It's so funny, too, because when you listen to Something to Wrestle with Bruce Prichard and him and Conrad talk about this sketch, Conrad loves to ask certain questions. And one of the questions that Conrad asks is, well, you guys still gave the kid the money, right? You guys still gave the kid the money, whatever. And Bruce Prichard's response is always, well, no, he only bounced it 9 times. He didn't earn the money.
Right.
Like, it's, and Conrad, of course, is just like, I love the fact that Bruce Prichard just won't give up certain things. And of course, they gave the kid the money, but like, it's so much better that Bruce is like, no, he didn't bounce the ball 10 times. That was the rules. So, great choice.
Yeah, who says kayfabe is dead?
Of course not. Always, God, there are so many that I want to go back to. I'm going to go super old school, Patrick O'Dowd. I'm going to go way old school. I had a couple of these on my list from this particular show, but I am going to go all the way back to Piper's Pit. And the Piper's Pit, where Rowdy Roddy Piper broke the coconut over the head of Superfly Jimmy Snuka.
Excellent, excellent choice. I actually left Piper's Pit off.
I had that one, and I had the WrestleMania 21 sketch.
Right.
For Piper's Pit.
The one that you asked me about?
Well, no, I asked you. I was asking you more about the Muhammad Hassan Hulk Hogan WrestleMania 21 moment, because I love it so much, but that did not count. That was a promo, so we did not count that. Right. That was not eligible for the competition.
There was also the Morton Downey Jr.
Yes.
Piper's Pit.
Yep, there was that.
All of that fun stuff.
So we have five on the list.
Oh, gosh.
So you now have the final. And Patrick O'Dowd, whatever listening device people are using to listen to this podcast, they are screaming at their device right now.
Right.
They are screaming and begging you to put this moment on the list. Because how could we not? How could, and it's okay if we don't. It's our list, not theirs. But my God, if we don't have this moment on the list.
Well, and it's funny because I know I mentioned it to you earlier today. It's got to be. Dude, I'm sitting there looking at these.
I know, it's hard.
Like, and here's the thing is, out of the stuff that we've done, I've only marked off one of them because I actually completely forgot about This Is Your Life until you mentioned it, or until you mentioned the Kevin Owens Jericho. I was like, oh God, we got to do This Is Your Life.
And This Is Your Life was on my list. It was one of the six that I developed for this. But if you leave this off, it's probably my fault for going with like the NXT 2.0 wedding.
So I guess I'm going to go. So I'm going to go with, I'm trying to figure out which one is the one you're referring to.
Oh God. You will.
I'm going to go WWE or WWF, and I'm going with the DX, Nation, the Croc, what the Croc is cooking.
I'm afraid I've got something bad.
Oh, it's the wrong one. That's what I'm going with, though.
No, it's fine. I had it on my list, too.
Was it the other one? Was it the NWO one?
No.
The liver spot, not a dog spot?
No. It was Shawn Michaels super kicking Marty Jannetty through the barbershop window.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one that everyone was yelling at their listening device for.
I'm sure they were.
As we were going into number six. And it was, let's see, when I made my list, because Festival of Friendship was the first thing I came up with. Barbershop Window was the second.
I will, you know, and it's funny because I am endorsing a sketch that involved blackface pretty heavily.
Yes.
As I can't remember who was done up like Mark Henry.
That was Sean Waltman. Ms. R. Henry.
That was Sean Waltman. Yes.
But there are so many funny things in that sketch.
There are. And I got to go through everything that I put out. I had a Rick Martel arrogance commercial.
Oh, I forgot. Specifically
the one where he's talking about how arrogant and he's in front of a car and he's talking about how it like opens up a lady's carburetor and all this. It's hilarious. Mr. Perfect.
Oh yeah.
And for me as a bowler, the bowling vignette where he bowls the 300 game, the NWO, not a dog spot, not a, you know, the liver spot, parody of Arn Anderson and his retirement speech. I went all the way back to the Crockett era.
Ooh.
When Baby Doll escapes Dusty Rhodes from his ranch riding off on one of his horses when he had won the rights to Baby Doll for 30 days and he made her work on the ranch. I had Lost in Cleveland.
Oh yeah.
What happened to Cactus Jack? And then last but not least,
okay,
Andre Chase University turning a negative into a positive, which is one where they're like unfurling the banner, like he's showing the footy of the unfurling the banner, and he's like screwed it up, and you know he calls out, I can't even remember the guy's name. Somebody takes a hit in the face where he's like his eyes all swollen. It was great. It's the Andre Chase University stuff.
It's fantastic.
Right, old school vignette up my alley sort of stuff. So I'm sorry, all you Shawn Michaels, Marty Jannetty through the barbershop window fans. I absolutely should have picked it. I actually didn't even write it down because I figured you would pick it, and then you didn't, and then I forgot about it when it was out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, no, I get it. There are so many great ones, and you brought them up, and the people who know me will be surprised that Andre Chase, one of those, didn't make the list because those are freaking hilarious. But and when he moves up to the main roster, given some of the stuff they're doing now, like the stuff they did on Raw last night with The Miz in his house and Dexter Lumis and all that, like Andre Chase will have a spot on the main roster and it will be hilarious when he does. So
you just made the list.
We got to put him in order. Crap. We got to put him in order, Patrick. So let's go ahead. Let's take a quick commercial break and then we'll put him in order.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out TheChairShot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, TheChairShot.com.
Shut your dumb mouth. You just made the list.
So we are making the list, Patrick O'Dowd. We're going with sketches and vignettes, and we have Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho's Festival of Friendship. We have The Rock and Mick Foley's This Is Your Life, the Dexter Lumis and Indy Hartwell NXT 2.0 wedding, the Ted DiBiase basketball sketch, Piper's Pit, where he hits Jimmy Snuka with the coconut, and DX parody of The Nation. You get to pick number one.
There are a few things that are played on repeat more than Piper's Pit and him hitting Snuka with that coconut. So I'm going to pick Piper's Pit as the number one.
Okay.
For the list.
Then number two is tough, but I am going to go ahead and go with Mick Foley and The Rock, This Is Your Life, as number two. So you picked one of mine, I picked one of yours. Was that Piper's Pit on your list?
It was.
Okay. So you get number three.
I've got a frog in my throat. Sorry. Let's see. I am going to be selfish.
It's okay.
And I'm gonna take one of my own this time because I love it. Ted DiBiase and the basketball sketch.
I think there's nothing wrong with that. Ted DiBiase, the basketball sketch, number three. Number four, I am going to go with Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho in the Festival of Friendship. So you get pick number five.
And this may come as I can't do Dexter Lumis and Indy Hartwell as number five. It's got to be what the Crock's cooking, the DX parody of the Nation of Domination.
And I assumed, and that's fine. So DX parody is the Nation number five. Number six is the Dexter Lumis Indy Hartwell wedding.
You just made the list.
Number one, Piper's Pit, Jimmy Snuka with the coconut over the head. Number two, The Rock and McFoley's This Is Your Life. Number three, Ted DiBiase kicks the basketball out at number five or number nine, so the kid can't win the $100. Number four, Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho in the Festival of Friendship that breaks up their friendship and leads to the WrestleMania match. Number five, Degeneration X parodies the Nation of Domination. Number six, the NXT 2.0 wedding of Dexter Lumis and Indy Hartwell. Congratulations to all of those mentioned above, because
you just made the list.
And for anybody who's upset over Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty and the barbershop window not being on the list, hey, Shawn didn't talk about it in his Hall of Fame speech either. So it's quite all right.
Fair enough.
That's what
happened. And if you want to send a hate tweet about it, just do me a favor. Follow me at Wrestling Realist. That's at WRESTLNGREALIST. I did that just for you. And tell me how mad you are at me for not picking it as the last pick.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. The clock is ticking, and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes, and we're out.
All right, Patrick O'Dowd, so we talked about it a little bit off-air and even on-air. Tonight, NXT 2.0 celebrated its one-year anniversary. And a couple, you know, noteworthy things happened. I've not seen the show yet. Only seen what's been reported on social media. But Solo Sikoa, who just made his debut on the main roster at Clash of the Castle and is a member of the Bloodline and worked Drew McIntyre in the main event of SmackDown this past week and is out there and even said that if he wanted somebody in his corner, he would pick Sami Zayn, which kind of pissed off Jey Uso. But Jimmy's fine with it, and it's a great story that's going on. Is now the NXT North American champion based on what happened tonight on NXT 2.0, whatever, for the last time. And then the show ended with a Shawn Michaels voiced over piece that talked about the evolution of NXT and again, sending, you know, talent to the main roster of Raw and SmackDown. And then it had the NXT 2.0 logo. 2.0 disappears. The multicolored logo becomes black and gold once again. And now we're led to believe that the black and gold of NXT is back. Patrick O'Dowd, we got a main roster wrestler holding the North American Championship. It's not the first time that's happened with championships in NXT. We're going back to black and gold. What's going on with NXT?
I think we're going a little bit back to some roots. I think this is definitely... maybe it's just branding at the end of the day, because you've talked about this, like the show itself didn't really feel like it was all that different. The branding was just different. There, the brand loyalty to the black and gold color scheme, like the olds were really excited about that. I'll just say that within our little circle of podcasting friends.
Yes.
There was a lot of enthusiasm for the return to the black and gold. And I don't know that I saw anything out of NXT today that told me, and they even told you in that voiceover commercial, this is what we're intending to do. This is what we've always been intending to do. We're still going to do that. So programmatically, I don't think it changes much. I think it's a branding move that brings back some folks who just did not like the brightly colored look. Yeah. For whatever reason, whether it really impacted the product or not, in their brains it did. So, but like, change it back, and if they're happy with it, great. They've already got the mats and the ropes and the aprons. I'm sure they kept that stuff in storage, so they're fine.
Keep everything. Yeah, they
get some new logos.
So NXT Black and Gold was Triple H's thing. So I'm not surprised, right? Triple H is back.
Absolutely.
Wants to make it black and gold again. Here's what I've been saying for a while now. There was an NXT special that took place the night before Hell in a Cell. It was on the WWE Network, and it was a fantastic show. And I made the point, had that taken place in Chicago instead of Orlando, and the ropes were white instead of blue, and the set was black and gold instead of multicolored, no one would have known the difference. They just would have praised it even more. The Worlds Collide show they just did recently, the day after Cardiff, put it in Wales in front of a UK audience with black and gold accents. People would have gone nuts for it. The color scheme literally completely changed people's vision of NXT. And that was the goal, but I think it backfired. I think if they never changed the colors and just changed the talent, people would have said, oh, it's changed so much in the last year. But it would not have been this like hurt feeling that people had and this visceral response to this new NXT that people had, because it really didn't change all that much. It was always a developmental. Triple H used to say, call it, oh, developmental my ass, because it did have the Garganos and the Ciampas. And at the time, you know, the Undisputed Era who really did carry it and sold million-dollar houses and things like that. But then in his interview with Ariel Helwani, he says, what? Tony Khan beat our developmental. Good for him. I do think Triple H did change his tune because he realized now that he runs the main roster that is more important, right? And that is a bigger moneymaker. But I think the shift to black and white, it's somewhat of an admission of defeat, but it's also an acknowledgement of the fact that, like, this didn't really change that much.
No, it really didn't at all.
So why fight it? There's a lot of things that Triple H is why fight it. In the Ariel Helwani interview, he talks about giving Matt Riddle his name back. And Triple H said, well, everyone knows his name's Matt. Why not give it back to him? The feud is very personal. Talked about his family, talked about everything. Kind of makes sense for him to be Matt Riddle. And, you know, and we brought back Imperium. We've brought back Hit Row. Like, we're bringing back things that – and we're giving people, you know, Theory got Austin back. Ciampa got Tommaso back. Like, people are getting first names back, and it's just, you know, Doudrop has already commented. They're in talks about, you know, fixing her name. Like, there's just some fixing going on, and this to me is just another element of the fixing that's needed.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And things that we knew were going to happen.
Yeah.
When somebody, anytime anybody new takes over anywhere,
there's always
changes happen. And it's been steady. You know, I wouldn't say it's been incremental. I would say it's been steady. There's just been steady changes here and there.
It slowed down.
Aesthetically,
it was like
names.
Something major every week for a while there. And that's
right,
fine.
But we're not TNA. We're not AEW. We can't have somebody debut every week.
No, we can't. And neither do they now. So, yeah.
Yeah, right. Well, now they just have people leave.
On the flip side, Solo Sikoa is your North American champion. What's that about?
For now. It's the guy should probably have a belt in NXT while he's still working double duty. But like,
I guess people assumed he wouldn't be working double duty.
But clearly he is.
And it's like, so does that mean that we're moving Carmelo Hayes? Does that mean, you know, what does that mean? Is Carmelo Hayes going to be the one to beat Bron Breakker? And then Bron's going to move on to somewhere else? There's a lot of questions.
Let him marinate.
Yeah, I get it. And I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not saying it's going to happen next week.
Here's the thing that makes a lot of sense. If you're going to have Sikoa up with the bloodline, everybody else got a belt. Outside of Sammy.
You're right. Everybody else got a belt. Sammy's not, you know, really a member anyway. And it drives home the story because they have told Sammy, you got to step it up. You don't have gold. And now Solo Sikoa does. But I also think, and this is no offense to Solo Sikoa because he came from Vegas. He worked in Arizona. He held titles in Arizona on the indies under the name Sifu Fatu. I think he still needs that time in NXT because the thing about being up with the bloodline, he may not work every week.
Right.
Roman's not there every week.
Gotta get those reps in, baby.
He needs to get those reps in. I also think NXT is on television. It is on the USA Network. It is on Tuesday nights. Having him carry the championship just continues to give NXT more of a presence on network television. and puts us where we need to be in that regard. So to me, that's part of it as well. It's continuing to grow and promote the NXT brand on WWE television. So I think that's part of it too. And I got no complaints about it. Do I think it's weird and different? Not weird, but different, definitely. But Ricochet was just challenging for that title at Worlds Collide and worked with Trick Williams last week, who, of course, runs with Carmelo Hayes. It's like you said, let it marinate. Carmelo Hayes is a star and is going to be a star. And who knows what's next for him? Who knows what's next for anybody? You know, Tyler Bate, who's, you know, part of that video that they showed at the end, I mean, if we need a fourth member of the Brawling Brutes for Survivor Series, Tyler Bate fits right in. And you know, Trent Seven hasn't said anything since all the releases happened. We don't know if he got released or not, but like Mustache Mountain could be a thing as well. You know, Pete Dunne still named Butch, but now when he wrestles, he's dressed like Pete Dunne. So again, more changes, more things that have taken place. So it's a ride, and I like it because I do think more connection between NXT and Raw and SmackDown makes sense to me. It's hard to pretend they don't exist. Toxic Attraction just made their, what we think is their main roster debut last week, because when they came out, their little nameplate at the bottom of the screen was the SmackDown nameplate. It wasn't the NXT nameplate. And they talked about establishing themselves on SmackDown, whereas a lot of people think it's not a call-up. I think it is a call-up. I think they're going to continue to lose until Mandy comes up and kind of helps them right the ship. So I think we'll see some of that in the coming months. But yeah, I think it's good. I think it's good. I'm fine with it. I'm fine with all of it. I have no complaints. Is it different? Yes. Same. Change is hard sometimes. And even though we should be happy that we're going back to black and gold, there's still this other element with Solo in the title, and it makes change hard. But change is always hard, but in the end, it's usually good. So that will do it for this week's edition of The Greg DeMarco Show. Go ahead and follow along with thechairshot.com at chairshotmedia.
Thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
You heard him tell you, if you want to complain, do so at Wrestling Realist. WrestlingRealist. There's no I in wrestling, but there is one in Realist, and there is one in Patrick for the Wrestling Realist. Patrick O'Dowd. Follow me at ChairShotGreg. Follow along with all the shows here at the ChairShot Radio Network. Head on over to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Pick up one of those beautiful ChairShot t-shirts. We got so many great things going on at the network. We've got so much fun within the world of wrestling, outside of the world of wrestling. There's so much to get involved with.
This is such good shit.
So follow along and be a part of it all. And yeah, that's what we do here. So we appreciate you listening. We look forward to doing this here again in a few weeks, next week. And yeah, it's always been a lot of fun. So we'll talk to you next time right here on The Greg DeMarco Show. Remember, always use your head.
Well, my friends, the time has come. Raise the roof and have some fun. Throw away the work to be done. Let the music play on, play on, play on. Everybody sing, everybody dance. Lose yourself in wild romance. We're going to party, caramba, fiesta. Come on and sing along. We're going to party, caramba, fiesta forever. Come on and sing along.
Acknowledge me.
You just made the list.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from Jeld-Wen. They're durable, energy-efficient, and are low-maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on Jeld-Wen windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save